You've heard me talk about Pick My Brain sessions, the 60-minute specialized one-on-one sessions with me. Now, you also may be thinking, I'm on the fence. I don't know if I should book this session. I don't know if I'm ready for it. I don't know if Ayana can help me. Well, my best advice to you is ask someone. Ask someone who has had a session with me. Recently on an Instagram Live, we were talking about the fear of wasting your money, making an investment that does not net the type of results that you want. So there are quite a few women who have had Pick My Brain sessions with me on that Instagram Live. So my suggestion to those on the fence was, go and DM these people who are giving you feedback and saying that they loved their experience. Go and DM them. Ask them why they love their experience. Ask them what they were dealing with before they booked a Pick My Brain session with me. And make your own determination. Find out for yourself if it is worth your investment. After every session, I always ask my participants for feedback. I want to know if they would recommend a session to a friend. And one recent participant, she's had multiple sessions with me, and this is what she had to say about recommending a session to a friend. She says, I always think that it can be helpful to obtain a second opinion. Ayana is not afraid to provide honest feedback, so it gives her clients the ability to successfully improve their ideas and business concepts. If you're ready to allow me to help you to understand and implement the changes that will help you to get from where you are to where you want to be, head over to switchpivotorquit.com and book your 60-minute Pick My Brain session with me today. During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with Claire Summers, an author, entrepreneur, and owner of Fashion Bomb Daily. Claire is the founder of FashionBombDaily.com, and she's the industry's leading fashion blogger chronicling fashionistas of color. Her pioneering work ushered in a new wave of digital journalism that fed and fueled an underserved community of African American and Latino style lovers wanting to know more about brands from the culture. Beyond developing and directing content for Fashion Bomb Daily and its affiliate sites, Claire has done extensive style writing for Vogue Italia, Vogue Paris, and Essence Magazine, among others. Her body of work and online following has made Claire the influencer of choice for major corporate brands, including Toyota, Reebok, Verizon, and others. Claire, who hails from Atlanta, Georgia, holds a degree in French and African American studies from Harvard University. In 12 years, Claire has accumulated over 1.3 million followers socially, written a book, The Bomb Life, and is now working on her second book. A little fun fact, for those of you who know my story, you know that I once co-owned a jewelry line, and the Fashion Bomb Daily was one of the first publications to feature my jewelry line, and they actually featured it multiple times, and it was such an honor because the Fashion Bomb Daily is a staple in the community that we were targeting for the jewelry line. So it is fun for things to come full circle and to have this chat with Claire, which we got really in-depth about a lot of things, her journey, her story, her trials and tribulations, her triumphs, and more. So listen in close so you don't miss a thing.
Okay, welcome to the show, Claire. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you. Let's get started. I'm very excited for this chat. So let's start by diving into your early years. What was your very first paying job?
So my very first paying job when I was not an intern was as a researcher reporter at a magazine called Real Simple Magazine. I had graduated from Harvard with a degree in French and African American Studies. And I knew that I just wanted to make a difference behind the scenes in media. In school, I learned about the unbalanced representations of people of color in the media. And I wanted to be one of those people behind the scenes who made a difference. And I initially wanted to go into TV, but I couldn't get a job in TV. So I went home to Atlanta and I was like, if I want to tell stories, you know, the written word is just as powerful as the spoken word. So I sent out a few inquiries to local magazines. I got my first internship at Upscale Magazine. I absolutely loved it. I was a fashion intern and that's kind of where everything started. Mm. And then afterwards, you know, I kind of knew that I had to intern for a little while before I got my first full-time job. So right out of college, I did an unpaid internship at Upscale. Then I went to New York Magazine. I was like, I need to move to New York. That's the center of media. Right. And I just looked for whatever internships were paying. And I found three. I applied to those three and I got them. So New York Magazine was the first one. I was paid $5.15 an hour.
Wow.
Then I went to New York Newsweek Magazine, and I think we were probably paid like $10 to $12 an hour.
Okay.
But after doing all those internships and not having health insurance and, you know, just kind of feeling unstable, I was offered this position as a researcher reporter, and it wasn't the perfect job, mm-hmm. but, you know, it had a decent salary. I had weekends, I had vacation, I had health insurance. So I was like, you know what? I'll be at a magazine and I can move and groove from there.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely one of those situations where it was not my dream job, but I was just kind of doing it because I got the job, and two, because I just had a plan to see how I can navigate from there once I got there.
Right. And sometimes you have to take those unexpected chances, because you never know what one thing will lead you to another thing. So that's great. Now, is this the job that you sort of ran from to start Fashion Bomb Daily? Or talk us through how Fashion Bomb Daily sort of came about, because from my understanding, you weren't exactly happy with what was going on for you. So you sort of started to sort of create your own lane. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So I was a researcher reporter, and that job is just not glamorous. We fact checked the facts in the magazine back in the day when magazines had big budgets. We would have to make sure that all the spelling was correct and all the facts were correct before we went to print. Because if you went to print and something was incorrect, it was like a huge deal.
Right. You can't take it back.
Right. So that was my main job, but I really wanted to continue to write fashion or beauty. I was open to both of them. And, you know, while I was there, I would, you know, ask the fashion editors if I could write for their department. And I would ask if I could go to fashion shows, if they had extra invites and things like this. And one of the editors, she told me, she was like, fashion, you won't like it. You know, people are mean. They're just mental. They'll look you up and down. You don't want to do this. But long story short, I was able to write fashion articles, and I was, you know, just researching stories mainly about fashion and interviewing people. But I wanted to move into the fashion department, and that was the issue. I even asked my superior if they could create a new role for me, like fashion writer or fashion researcher reporter. And she was like, no, go kick rocks.
Really?
So, yeah. So it was one day I went to human resources and I told her of my aspirations to write in fashion. And she was like, well, first things first, you need to have an online presence. All these people are doing these things called websites. So you should make one. And so I made ClaireSalmers.com, which still exists, but I just felt that ClaireSalmers.com was boring. It was just my resume and the article that I written. So my web designer at the time, she recommended I start a blog, and I did. And then when I thought about what I wanted to write about, I was like, well, I love fashion, so let me just start writing about fashion. So the blog was really, you know, supposed to be a supplement, something I did for fun, and it changed my life.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Talk to us about the early days of growing the Fashion Bomb Daily. So you start this blog. At what point did you start to realize, like, okay, this is a thing and I want to really create a niche with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think for anybody starting a blog or an online movement, it's about figuring out what hasn't really been done. Mm-hmm. My first posts were about me, like, shopping in Brooklyn, and I was like, oh, I could do something on budget, shopping on a budget in Brooklyn. But then I would look around and there were different websites that already did that.
Okay.
And so I think I just tapped into my African-American, my love of African-American studies and my researching skills. But I just remember somebody wrote me and they were like, they sent me some random picture and asked me to find out where this person got like a pair of socks or something. Mm-hmm. And I found it. And then, you know, then I was like, oh, well, somebody else asked me, like, what are these bandage dresses that everyone was wearing, and at the time Hervé Légère dresses were huge. So mm-hmm. I started to become that resource where everyone would come to find out celebrity looks. Mm-hmm. And then I also was just like, oh, you know, like this issue of diversity in fashion. And, you know, at the time I think Suede magazine was around, but maybe it had just shut down. Mm-hmm. So we really just slowly but surely became that place that was all about, you know, fashion for women of color, specifically African-American women. And I think it was one day, I can't remember, I looked at my analytics and, you know, normally the post would just be my mom or my friends being like, oh, Claire! And then I was like, oh my gosh, 300 people visit today. This is wild, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's always been, it still continues to surprise me how many people are aware of the brand and how big it's grown. But back then to now, we've been able to stand out because we are the only place that does what we do. Like, mm-hmm. we have a focus on people of color and fashion. You know, we're the only blog where you would see a who wore it better between Joe Budden and T.I.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like between Juju and Carla USA Star, like, because, mm-hmm. you know, maybe Vogue or Elle, they don't know who Joe Budden is, or they don't consider him a stylish person, or they don't consider T.I. or Tiny, or, you know, so we really kind of, we know who these celebrities are. We see how impactful they are to our culture, and we just celebrate them in a positive way through fashion.
So when you started to notice like the growth for Fashion Bomb Daily, what did that look like for you? And what were some of the opportunities and things that were coming your way that maybe were a little unexpected, because this just started off as a blog, right?
Yeah. The opportunities, they came slowly but surely. I mean, I think, you know, we benefited from, you know, the YBF, for example. She would link to us frequently. Young, Black, and Fabulous.
Right.
Concrete Loop would link back to us, because back in the day, I was one of the few bloggers at Fashion Week. I was crashing, you know, at the Baby Fat Show and pictures and things like this. And we were getting really great traffic. But I honestly feel that the opportunities didn't really come until I started to put myself out there. You know, I would look at shows like H&M, they always used to do these collabs with designers. And I think they've done them pretty, I don't know if they've stopped doing them, but, you know, they've done them with Balmain and Lanvin and Versace and all these different brands. And I would look at these shows that would be going on in New York, and I'd be like, why am I not there? You know, mm-hmm, like Fashion Bomb has such great traffic. We have all these visitors.
Right.
And were really not in the building. And, you know, for a long time, I was crashing these shows because I was like, I keep asking and asking and asking. The answer is no, no, no. And I feel like I need to be there. So how can I make it happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes I would take a chance and that risk would pay off. And yeah, honestly, for a long time, I got away with it. But I ran into an issue with a fellow blogger who was trying to stop my blessings or stop.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we can get into that later. But there's a lot of competition out there.
Okay.
And you just have to kind of like deal with it. I mean, I think my whole trajectory, and I know we'll get there later on, but you know, in life, you're going to meet adversity. You're going to encounter enemies. You're going to encounter people who don't want to see you in, who are actually working very hard to make sure that you fail. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, oh, the devil is busy. And you can get discouraged and be like, oh my gosh, like maybe I should quit. Maybe mm-hmm. this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. But I think my faith is really what has sustained me, and just knowing that God has got me.
Right.
And I think after a few times when you're just like, okay, I'm against this enemy and it seems so formidable and it seems like I can't win. I'm losing and they're winning. That's what it always seems like. But if you just keep the faith and stay graceful and always do the right thing, obviously learn from your mistakes and don't do the, you know, if you did the wrong thing, even if you didn't mean to do the wrong thing.
Right.
Pledge never to do that again and to do better. But if I know that if you're consistent, you always show up and you always do quality work, you will always get noticed. And it's not about the short run. It's about the long run. And,
right.
You know, are you in this for the long haul? And honestly, I do feel that people will recognize your game and respect what you're doing, and you will break through eventually.
Absolutely agree. I just posted something on Instagram yesterday, I think it was, where it was just talking about eventually, you know, like you have to keep going, because eventually what you want to see happen will happen. But like you said, you have to stay consistent. You have to stay committed to your process, because things just don't happen overnight. And for clarity's sake, let's tell them exactly when you started Fashion Bomb Daily. What year was that?
2006, I started Fashion Bomb Daily.
Wow.
And I started it. It was just, you know, a blog spot. I updated it once a day. I was committed to updating it once a day. I had a full-time job at the time. So mm-hmm. I would go to coffee shops over the weekend and I would draft up enough posts so that I could schedule them throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Or I would work late at night. I would work during my lunch break. But it was definitely something that I was doing, you know, after work or when I could find spare time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a passion for me, and it still is a passion for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go places like in Brooklyn. There was a place called Havana Outpost where
yes, I remember.
You remember? Yes, like a lot of dope people would hang out, and mm-hmm. I would be there with my digital camera. And of course, I would always try to just go and enjoy myself. But as now, you go somewhere and you want to enjoy yourself, but then you're like, wow, they look great, and
mm-hmm. you can get some content.
Yeah, and you document it.
Yes.
And that's what Fashion Bomb is. Aside from all the celebrity stuff, we documented this culture, you know, as street style started to come up and become more mainstream, and even like trends from 2006 to now.
Yes.
That online documentation of what was hot and popping in the quote unquote urban hip hop community.
You just made me think of something. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but the word documenting and our history and sort of like the role that Fashion Bomb Daily has played. Like, have you thought about doing some type of nostalgia documentary?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a book called Fashion Bomb Daily.
Okay.
Going to be a look back at everything we've done and a lot of the highlights. And I'm going to talk more about it at my event in Atlanta this weekend. I'm having a Convos with Claire event in Atlanta. And Convos with Claire, as you know, is an opportunity for people of color or people who love fashion, period, who don't see themselves represented, who don't feel included in the elitist fashion world. It's a time for us to get together and show our style and also learn and build and grow from each other. So
what would have been useful for you to know before embarking on this current career path and journey?
Well, there's so many things. I think there's a lot in the name. And, you know, even as I think of creating new organizations, because I'm endlessly creative, right? And I also think that, you know, people have to understand that this is a creative field, which means you have to create. Like, no one is going to give you ideas. No one is going to give you a story to write. And I think a lot of times in magazines, I'd be like, oh, I need to know this editor or that editor. And you can know them, but then you need to have a pitch, and you have to have a compelling pitch, and you have to find a way. Like, you're only as good as the work you create. So do good work and never think that people are watching you. Everybody's paying attention. And so even people you don't think are, they know who you are, and they're looking at what you're doing. So I would say just be very careful about curating everything that you do online, define what your brand is, and always stick to those values. Be a person of integrity. But back to what I was saying initially was, pick a great name, you know. And I think your podcast has an amazing name. I mean, it's literally what so many people deal with as so many young women are embarking on entrepreneurial ventures. Like, what should they do? This stuff gets hard.
It does.
So what decision should you make? Is this really what you want to do? Because sometimes the answer is quit. A lot of people are like, oh no, just keep going. And I'm one of those people that if you're breaking through and you're finding encouragement and things are progressing, you should definitely stick to it. But then there are some things that are just not meant for you, and it's time for you to switch or pivot. Mm-hmm. But again, I would say pick a great name. Fashion Bomb Daily, I've fallen in love with the name, and I think a lot of people appreciate the name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't, and the initial name was the Fashion Bomb. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get the URL for the Fashion Bomb, so we had to do Fashion Bomb Daily. And if you find us on any social media, it's like our Twitter is the Fashion Bomb, and our Facebook is the Fashion Bomb. Instagram is Fashion Bomb Daily. But I would just say pick a wonderful name that aptly represents what you're doing. Make sure that you own that name all across the board. There are so many pieces of advice, but I would say, just aside from business advice, like making sure you have an accountant, making sure that all your taxes are taken care of and that you're doing everything right in that regard.
Mm-hmm. You know, you see the front facing of a brand like yours that you've created, but what does it really look like on the back end? You know, there's all these people that have aspirations, like you said, of being entrepreneurs or being entrepreneurial. And a lot of people think that creating a blog is going to be their segue to create this different lifestyle for themselves. But I think that there's sort of like this curtain that hasn't been unveiled, where people really realize what it takes to run a successful, profitable brand that has like a digital base, especially like a blog or something of that nature. What are some of the things that come to mind when I say that?
I think that some people don't believe that it's work, you know, and you don't have to just be creative in what you write. You have to be creative in how you make money, you know, because you have to do a lot of outreach. Sometimes, like, I remember before Fashion Bomb was profitable, I looked at ProBlogger.net, I looked at Yaroslavic. I was like, okay, how can I make this profitable? Okay, I can sell sidebar ads, and you can have subscriptions, and people can just click there, and they can have advertising. Mm-hmm. But even with that, that was working for a long time. But then people started to go away from websites, and then they went to social media.
Right.
So then it's about how do you advertise on social media? I even like, because Fashion Bomb was so big, we had over 1 million followers. We were raking in the money when it came to ad sales, right? But then it went away. But now we have the Claire Somers brand that I look to promote, and I DM people, and I'm like, what are your promo rates? Some people don't check their DMs. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know what's going on. Their prices are too high for their followers, or they're too low or something, or they're not responsive. And I'm just like, you have to treat this like a business. Mm-hmm. Take it seriously. Take yourself seriously. Every image you put out, if that's your business, then make sure that it's a great image. Curate your feed. Everybody I know who is a top blogger, like 100K followers or more, everybody that I know, not saying that everybody who has over 100K followers does this, but they plan out their feed in a certain way so that it's curated in a certain way. Mm-hmm. We do outreach to different brands. I am like, book me as a speaker a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I put myself out there a lot. I redesigned my website so that people can book me easily. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many things that you have to do, and you have to be super organized. I wake up at 5 a.m. every day, sometimes 5:20, sometimes, you know, whatever, but I wake up at 5 a.m.
Right.
And I do that so that I can plan my day. And every day at 8 a.m. I am at a dry erase board planning out every single hour. And then I keep a time log just so that I'm not procrastinating and wasting time. Wow. But these are just a few things. Like, if you're going to do something, you have to do it well and figure out, expend every resource. A lot of times people can be like, I sent a bunch of DMs and nobody responded. Mm-hmm. Send some more.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Have another batch. Yeah,
if you reach out to 20 people and they don't get back to you, reach out to 100. One person will come through, and it's not going to be the skies open and money gushes forward. It is one of those things where you have to be consistent with it and understand that you have to understand what you're offering to people. Yes. And also hone in on that and make sure that what you're offering to people is of quality. Like, if I'm a speaker, I just met with my speech coach last night, and I might meet with my acting coach next week. So I'm investing in my product so that the product is of quality. But then you also have to market yourself, and you have to do outreach sometimes. And, you know, I do consultations with different influencers, and I will literally tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'll look back, and they haven't changed anything, right? Yeah,
that's the disappointing part. I think a lot of people say that they want stuff, and I'm with you, because I do pick my brain consultations, and I'll tell people what to do, exactly what to do, and I'll give them all this advice, send them links, everything. And then when you look back and you're like, oh, okay, just checking on them. When you look and you're like, did they do anything? No. But you know what? The thing that I will say is my audience, they are very much so action takers, in the way that if they sign up to speak with me, usually there's action that will be taken from that. And they will book follow-up sessions, which to me says you're ready to do the work, and you're really immersing yourself in this and you're doing the work. But I think that's one thing that a lot of people are missing. They see the results that all these other people around them have, or sometimes the perceived results, but they don't really realize what this person may have sacrificed to get there and how long they may have been working at this. Because like you said, there's a lot of people that don't think that it's work. They think you just show up, take pretty pictures, do a couple things, and then you keep it moving. But there's a strategy to a lot of this too. Can you talk about maybe, like, because I know of what's of interest to a lot of people is, oh, sponsors and brand partnerships and things like that. They think that that's their way to the golden ticket. Can you talk about how to strategically navigate those types of situations, or how maybe you have approached it, whether it be with Fashion Bomb Daily or now with your personal brand?
Yeah, I think it's about Diversifying your offerings, A, and B, trying to see how you can add value to other people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so for us, you know, with Fashion Bomb, we have advertising. With me, I do brand ambassadorships and collaborations and speaking, but also consultations is something that I've started to do because I noticed that, you know, we'll have designers who advertise with us. They might not see a return and they'll be a little frustrated. And then mm-hmm. I look at the quality of their pictures or that, you know, their Instagram page, which is a business page, is full of selfies or pictures of their friends. And I'm like, you know, you guys don't need to advertise with us. You actually need some consultation so that you can totally edit your page so that you're more marketable to potential customers. And events for us is also a huge thing. As I mentioned, we're having Convos with Claire in Atlanta this Saturday. But Convos with Claire started off as something. It was a meet and greet for people who wanted to meet me. And I remember the first year we did it, we lost money. and I was like, maybe this isn't the best idea. Like, it's a lot of work and a lot of travel, and I'm here sleeping on my friend's couch, you know, mm-hmm. going to DC and sleep, you know, staying with friends and driving and all this stuff. But then, you know, you figure out that there is a demand for it, for what you're doing. And then you're like, okay, now I can find sponsors and we can have vendors and we can sell tickets. So you find a way to make whatever you're doing, if there's a demand for what you're doing, or if you have any sort of expertise, or if you can bring people together or uplift people, mm-hmm. then you can find a way to turn that into a business. Mm-hmm. And I think some people, it doesn't sound like the people who follow your podcast are like this, but some people can get discouraged because things don't work immediately.
Right. That's true. Talk about that a little bit more, because like you said, you lost money the first time around. Mm-hmm. But you kept going. So there had to be something that let you know, okay, maybe I should keep trying. Maybe I should keep going with this and not exactly like give up now that I lost money.
Yeah. And that was just from the pure experience of it, seeing how people were so excited about it, seeing how many people turned out, mm-hmm. and understanding, because ticket sales won't get you where you need to be. Mm-hmm. You know? You need mm-hmm. sponsors, you do need all these different aspects to really put on a beautiful production. So it was about figuring out how to make it profitable.
Right.
And knowing that there's a demand here. There are people here in different cities who do not have fashion networking events. They don't have an opportunity for mentorship. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of fashion to me has always been one where people, it's like, you can't get in. Mm-hmm. Thin enough, you're not fly enough, you don't have enough money, you know, you
exclusive,
can't
wear. Yeah.
It's super exclusive and it can make people feel bad.
Exactly.
So my events and the whole point of my movement is to make people feel empowered, mm. and that if they're interested in this, then they can make it in this business. But it's about us getting together and networking and learning from each other. And me, just keep going. I keep going if it's something that I'm passionate about, and if it's something I'm like, okay, let me just figure out how to make this work. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, when I was doing outreach for my Atlanta event, I saw a young woman. I had hosted a similar event in Atlanta a few years ago, and I was reaching out to her to see if, you know, she wanted to come. And I saw that she did her first event in 2015, and that's the last time she did it. Okay. Like, she was like, and then nothing. The Facebook page hadn't been updated since 2015. Her email address doesn't work anymore. Oh. And I think it's important for people to know that most people will quit.
Yeah.
Most people will quit. And I also, it's interesting, the whole quit idea, because for me, for example, I'll do a little bit of swimming around in my story. So I was at Real Simple Magazine I really wanted to work in fashion. I wasn't getting any headway. I was even trying to interview at Vogue and Marie Claire. And I wasn't getting through. But I knew in my heart that I wanted to work in fashion. I had a degree in French, and I decided to quit my job and move to Paris and try to start from the bottom. I told myself, if I have to start from the bottom, I'll do it in a foreign country where I can justify being an intern. By learning the language there. It took me a year and a half to get into Paris Vogue, which was my goal, to get an internship at Paris Vogue, but I was able to break in there. And my goal with Paris Vogue was to stay there. Like, I really enjoyed doing the internship. My boss was not very nice to me, and it was kind of a very weird culture clash. Like, you know, a French, that's a whole nother discussion. But, you know, I did everything that one should do when wanting to manifest something. Like, I manifested myself into that building. And then towards the end of my internship, I wrote down on the mirror every day, like, I will work at Paris Vogue full time and all this stuff. And when it came down to it, I wasn't offered an extension on my internship. I wasn't offered a job. They were like, see you later, you know? And I did have to kind of give up on that dream. And that was beyond my control. You know, I wasn't going to continue running there and knocking on the door like, please, you know, that wasn't what I did. But I was able to pivot. And the same month that I did not get this extension with Paris Vogue, I got my first big check from blogging and finally figured it out, how to make money from blogging. And I was able to live full time from blogging since that moment. So I would say for anyone listening, it's not that your dream is not available to you, because I do feel like, you know, God's gift to you is your life, and your gift to God is what you do with your life. And I do feel that we all have this mission. We have different goals and missions in life, and they don't come from nowhere. I think they're assignments from God. So, you know, you have a mission and you set out to do it, but what it looks like can be different. So it's not a matter of quitting. Maybe it's a matter of quitting doing it in that way. But, you know, try it this way, and maybe this way will be better for you. So just always keep yourself open to an alternative possibility. No, I was not able to be a fashion writer at Paris Vogue, but yes, I was able to be a fashion writer for my own vehicle, which has opened way more doors and changed my life in an even bigger way than Paris Vogue ever would have.
Yes. So I'm so glad that you touched on that. That was a word right there. And you know, it's because there's this negative connotation with quitting. People hear quit and they think that that means you gave up, you failed, like something bad or negative, but it's not always that. Sometimes you have to know when to walk away from something in order to walk into something else. But like you said, you have to be open to the possibilities and the options that are out there, because things will not always take shape how you expect them to. So if you're looking for things to happen and work out this one way, you might miss your blessing over to the left or to the right because you can't see it. You know, you're just so busy, like laser focused on this one thing. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because that's very valuable advice in how people are making transitions today. You know, it's like there's always something happening and you're being pulled in all these different directions because what you see other people doing. You know, we have a lot more exposure now to what other people are doing than we had even like 5 years ago, you know? So that can be distracting to people. So I'm glad that you shared that. So I want to talk about your plot twist, let's say, because we've really dug into Fashion Bomb Daily and what you created, this amazingness with this, but something happened where things had to shift for you. And I know that you've mentioned before, you know, you were like an introvert. And when we spoke prior, you were saying how you were an introvert. And, you know, I got the feeling that you wanted to sort of stay behind the scenes with Fashion Bomb Daily. So talk to us a little bit about how things shifted with the Fashion Bomb Daily and how you had to sort of come to the forefront and what that was like.
Yeah. So I noticed that, for example, when a lot of fashion brands would do outreach to influencers, they would tap a particular group of influencers who were great, mm-hmm. but I just didn't really understand why I wasn't included. You know, I'm always yeah. the one to shoot for the stars, want to be top of the class. That's just my personality. Mm-hmm. And I did some self-reflecting and noticed that everybody who was front row or being invited to all these events, they were the faces of their brand. And so I realized that I couldn't, like, me just having an editorial site or entertainment site was not enough, even if we had a lot of traffic, and that I needed to push myself to the forefront of my brand. And it did end up paying off, but it was tough. You know, like, the internet can be a cruel place, and especially as someone who just likes to write, it's kind of like a new job to get up and get dressed and take pictures and all these things, and the hair and the makeup and all that. It's definitely a second job, but so many opportunities opened for me when I was able to do that, including, you know, ambassadorships for Toyota, Reebok, Curel, Nivea. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I think that, you know, having a personal aspect to the brand, like, you know, we don't really know. We know who's behind a lot of the big sites. I think, you know, if you do your research, you can find out who's behind, let's say, the Shade Room.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me to be an integral part of it, it added a personal touch. It added something genuine that people could direct their feelings towards, whether good or bad. Normally it's good because we like to keep things positive. But, you know, I think it's definitely strengthened the overall brand and allowed us to survive even after our Instagram snafu. You know, our Instagram, we experienced an issue with that. You know, thankfully we still had the Claire Selmer's brand that was going strong. We still had our combos with Claire events. I still had, you know, my speaking engagements and all these other things. So me putting myself out there ultimately did pay off in the end. It's kind of tough to be sometimes not under a microscope, but to be the face. But, you know, if you want to take things further, especially in fashion, then you just have to put yourself out there and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. And that's a lot more the name of the game now, is people do want to know who's behind the brands that they love engaging with. So it has become more of the norm, but I'm sure that doesn't take away any of the potential scrutiny. So you mentioned the Instagram snafu. For those who aren't aware and don't really know what happened, just briefly tell us sort of what happened and how that sort of impacted you and your business.
You know, we make mistakes. Sometimes you make mistakes, you know.
Right. We're human.
You know, innocently. And, you know, even the other day we posted an image from one of our longtime advertisers, Weapons Will Form. And we were like, oh, they're a sponsor of Convos with Claire. So, you know, and this brand has grown with us over the years and gotten bigger and bigger. But we posted a picture of a blogger who we couldn't see her face. And Weapons Will Form also didn't tag her. Mm. So we went ahead and we put our Convos with Claire logo on the picture and posted it. And I was just whistling along. And then I got a DM from her, text message saying, you know, I see you're using my picture to promo and I didn't give you permission. And I was just like, oh my God, I didn't even know that. Right. And thankfully she was cool. And I was like, is it okay if I tag you? And she was like, yes. But there are some pictures that are, you know, just tagging someone is not enough. Deleting it is not enough. And it's kind of a new business to report photos until your account is taken down. And
really?
Yeah. And it just happened to Hollywood Unlocked. You know, I think Fashion Bomb Daily was maybe one of the first in our sphere where that happened. But it just happened to Hollywood Unlocked. And there is a solution, you know, we can reach a settlement and all these things. So that's something that we're working through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think things like Tumblr or Instagram or even some blogs, you're just like, oh, it's for entertainment and it's just fun. And you're using the picture as a reference to talk about something else. But, you know, we do get advertisers, return advertisers that come back and grow with us. And the photographers are like, we want some of that too.
Right.
So that's what happened. But, you know, I think with anything, because when it happened, it was devastating. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something we have a team of six people that we had updating day and night. And it was fun for us, you know, when we had Fashion Bomb Kids and Fashion Bomb Men and all these different things. And we were like, I remember the day it happened, it was like a couple days after the Met Gala. And I was like, we are killing it. And I put in the profile, I was like, we the best, you know? And I was like, this is it. And then the Friday, I think it was Friday that it happened, we had a editorial with Black China. And so she was shouting us out and it was like the best week ever. Mm-hmm. And then it all came crashing down. And
when it all came crashing down, you mean that your account was disabled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Temporarily disabled. We're still keeping hope alive. We can get it back. But
yes.
The interesting thing is, you know, I think I went through so many different stages of grief, from like, you know, anger to despair to so many different things. Mm-hmm. So, but I think in my career, I'm not that old, but you know, I've been here before. Mm-hmm. You know, when I quit my job and moved to Paris, I didn't have everything lined up. I didn't have a ton of money saved. I just knew that I had this dream, and things were messed up. I was sleeping on a tub. The day before I went to Paris Vogue, I didn't have enough money to eat. So my friend Ellen bought me like a No. 3 meal from McDonald's.
Aww.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was able to catapult from that low to like making more money than I'd ever made in my life from following my passion. And I think a lot of times you can be like, oh, this is great, and you're just going to maintain and keep growing and growing and growing. But what I've learned through, like, every morning I listen to motivational tapes to keep myself up and going and motivated. I listen to Les Brown and Tony Robbins and Mel Robbins and Philip Tracy and all these people. But, you know, anybody who is successful is going to deal with low points. And you can look at even Puff Daddy, who I look up to so much. He's dealt with, you know, the passing of his best friend and arrests and all these different things. Times when you thought that maybe he wouldn't make it through.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't have to accept the temporary hiccup as a permanent situation. And it's really all mental, and just being like, I refuse to accept this as my reality, and I'm going to figure out how to learn from my past mistakes, just to keep going. And a big thing about what I'm talking about in at Combos with Claire Atlanta this Saturday is about brands and the strength of a brand. Yeah. I'm talking to someone, his name is #NoIGJeremy. He's not on Instagram. But this
NoIGJeremy. Okay.
Yeah. He's a stylist in Atlanta, and he styles Porsche, Phaedra, Quad, Toya, Regine. He styles all these women in Atlanta with no Instagram, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a man, Alonzo Arnold, who's a hairstylist who has over 800,000 followers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, you can have a brand, your brand can be big on social media or not, but it's really about your brand. It's about the promise. It's about your authenticity. It's what you bring to people. And because we have a strong brand, we're going to survive whether or not we get our 1.4 million back or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fashion Bomb Daily has made a mark in its own way through that consistency and that quality over 10 years. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think people should in general just understand that the valleys will come. With the hills, there are the valleys. Right. Try to prepare yourself as best you can for that, you know, but know that it'll, it'll come, and that it's just a passing phase, and it's a test. You have to pass the test to testify. So to keep the faith. I don't know how spiritual you are, but I just, I'm faithful. I always try to say, what is God trying to teach me through this? And you learn, and then you grow and become better.
This makes me think of sort of like the personal development work, especially when you talk about, you know, in the morning, listening to people that are motivational and things of that nature. Has that always been something that you've done? Like, how important is personal development and professional development? How important is that in your life? And what sort of like role has that played, especially through this transition time where you're tapping into your personal brand more?
You know, I think it's been everything, and it was not always, you know, it wasn't always something that I focused on. And I think that really what happened is that this our Instagram was disabled. It was kind of like this huge roadblock or seeming roadblock, and it forced me to pay more attention to self-reflection, becoming better. Before this happened, you know, I'm a self-help, like I will read every single self-help book. All my books are like 4-hour work week, Think and Grow Rich, The Magic of Big, How to Make Millions from Your Ideas. Like I voraciously read a lot of these books, but I think that, you know, and I needed to level up, and this situation, it really forced me to be like, how can I become better? How can I streamline? How can I become stronger mentally? So the whole 5 a.m. waking up thing is something that I started because of this, because I'm like, I'm gonna have to work more. I need more time. I'm gonna get in shape. I'm gonna get right mentally. I'm gonna become more organized. I'm going to study the people who have made it to see how they've done it. I'm going to show up on time. Just little things, you know? Before I thought it was cute to be like 15 minutes late, fashionably late. Everybody like, Claire's late again. No surprise. And I'm like, nope, got to show up early because I'm taking myself serious. And, you know, I think because I started Fashion Bomb as a hobby, for a long time I treated it as a hobby, even though it's a serious business. But now it's like I've really had to dissect the business because we reached this roadblock, and not just dissect the business, but also myself and how I can be a better leader and just a better person. You know, because at the end of the day, I think a lot of times I get so caught up in the business. Right. And sometimes I neglect my friends. sometimes I neglect my family. I'll do it. You know what I mean? You know, be like, no, I can't. Even yesterday, my friends were like, can we go to Soho House? And I was like, no, I got to work. but, you know, I think that this has also shown me what a beautiful network of people I have, not just, you know, family, but friends who are there for me, you know, because they recognize that I'm serious about what I'm doing. They support me. So many people, they're like, I'm so proud of you. How can I help you? You know, so I think that the business part is great, but you should try to find a way to always also pour into your friends and family, your network, because those are the people who are going to catch you when everything else falls down.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about your comfort zone and the ways that you've expanded that comfort zone, because, you know, you mentioned being an introvert, and you also mentioned having a speech coach and an acting coach. And I'm sure that through this transition, you've had to, like you said, do some self-reflection and then decide on some things that you are going to do that would probably not be so comfortable for you, but that you know could potentially benefit you in the long run. Talk to us a little bit about some of those experiences and what you've been sort of working on to expand that comfort zone.
Yeah, I'm an introvert. I was always shy in school. I would never speak up in class. My teachers would always write on my report card that I was a quiet leader. I remember having nightmares about giving presentations in class. oh yeah, I'm like counting down the days and be like, oh my God, you know, and then I do it and it was fine.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think just as putting myself out there as a face of my brand is important, having a voice is important. Mm-hmm. And everything that I'm doing with speaking at Convos with Claire or speaking as a host or giving keynotes or talking on panels, this is another way to enhance not just my brand, but me as a person. Mm-hmm. And you don't benefit from being fearful of staying in your comfort zone, of playing small. Like if, like God put us all here to shine, mm-hmm. you know, to shine our lights for the world to see, to benefit the world in whatever way. And I feel like God put a calling on my life to do this, even though I'm like half the time, I'm like, I don't want to do this. You know, like I don't want to be in front of all these people. And sometimes, you know, I remember I gave my first keynote maybe 2 years ago mm-hmm. and it was just like, oh no, Claire, you know, there was a girl there who was my friend, you know, my colleague. And she was like, it was okay. And I was like, I never want to have that feeling again. You know, okay. I never want to like underperform, okay. But I know that, you know, I have a story, I have a testimony, I have something to share mm-hmm. And that this can benefit the world. So how do I do that? And I think sometimes you can feel discouraged if you give like a less than stellar performance, or even with Fashion Bomb TV, I remember that, somebody wrote a comment and they were like, I think you should have a correspondent and not you do it because you're just not good at it.
Oh,
it's Fashion Bound TV and this is my brand. So I'm
yeah.
piece of it. And
yeah.
if I have to go to acting class or invest in a speech coach, then mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to do mm-hmm. because this is the calling that God has put on my life. And don't just say no to fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
Just do it. Just do it. And you will get better and better and better with time. You don't have to be great to start, but if you don't start, you won't be great.
So true. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. so just do it. Mm-hmm. sit at the front of the class, speak up, like whatever is in your gut, in your intuition to do, then do it and act on it and stop second guessing yourself. Stop thinking of the negative. A lot of times we are harder on ourselves than other people are on us.
So
get rid of that whole negative speak and step into your purpose, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Out of your strengths, which ones have you realize to significantly help you to get to where you are right now?
I think it's persistence and, okay. and being consistent and mm-hmm. not taking anything personally, you know?
That's a big one.
It's a big one, you know, because yeah. especially when it comes to dealing with celebrities and, you know, it's that this sort of, it's a fake business, you know, you have fake friends, people who will rock with you when you're up
uh-huh.
ask them for something, they're uh-huh. gone or whatever. But that's fine. Just be like, okay, and just stay focused on what you're doing. But it really, when I looked at this young woman who had an event in Atlanta in 2015 and never did it again, and I was looking to invite her to my event,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, Claire, you just keep going. Like, you
yeah.
just keep going.
Mm-hmm. And
try to be positive, get a great team. I know it sounds like I do everything by myself, but I have a great team of young women who are passionate and willing to roll up their sleeves and do the work so that I can continue to grow the brand. So many great advertisers that we work with that help support the brand, and some who have become friends. So, you know, I think take account of all the great blessings that you have, you know, and understand that even if it's a note from one person being like, you know, I love what you do, or I read your book and I really enjoyed it. That should be enough encouragement to keep going, because most people quit.
Right.
Right. Most people will just stop.
That's the easy thing to do.
That's the easy thing to do. So be that person who is the exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in general, it's about being exceptional, you know, and like when I wake up at 5 a.m., I notice a difference between when I wake up at 5 a.m. and when I wake up at 6 a.m.
Really?
Not a lot of people outside at 5 a.m.
Right.
At 6 a.m., people are starting to move around. By 7, yes. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. But do you want to be a part of that 1%? The talented 10th or whatever. I don't know if the talented 10th phrase is controversial or not, but do you want to be a part of that, those exceptional people who go over and above and who do more than the average?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is always yes.
Yes, 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 yes. I love that. And that's one of those things where you have to decide. You know, like you said earlier, the universe, the world, people around you, nobody's going to decide for you how great you're going to be. You have to decide how great you're going to be, how great you want to be, and then you have to put in that work for it. So I appreciate that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So do you have, on the personal side, do you have any personal care routines or any personal care indulgences that sort of help you stay balanced through all of the chaos and hecticness of life?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the 5 to 8 a.m. period is mm-hmm. all about it.
And when really?
And when I sleep late, like I slept a little late today, I'll admit it. But when you sleep late, I slept to like 5:30. But when you sleep late, you're cutting into your personal time. Mm. So I take that time and I even have that time organized where I like run or walk for an hour or so. I get a Starbucks because if I don't, then I'll fall back asleep. And then, you know, the rest of the time I read or I meditate or, you know, I eat a nice breakfast. I'll have some tea maybe and just relax. And that's my time to take care of my mental state. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then at 8 a.m., the work starts and the planning starts and the day starts. But just kind of carving out that time for yourself and trying to be disciplined with it and also understanding, you know, I've tried and failed to do the 5 a.m. rule before. And on my website, thebombmife.com, you know, you can just search 5 a.m. and see, like, I was trying to do it 2 years ago.
Right.
and I was like, nah, I want to wake up at 9 a.m. But you have to commit, like, you have to commit to greatness and commit to doing more than the average if you want to be successful. So a lot of times it's about that self-discipline. I posted a video from Will Smith on my page, and he's like, this guy told me he wanted to be an actor. And I was like, and he said that most people are not willing to do what it takes to really be an actor. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, I've heard for years about the 5 a.m. rule. You can hear for years about, you know, working out or you know, not going out and, you know, staying in and all these things. And you're like, you know, you don't do it because you don't want to do it.
Right.
But a lot of times it's about doing what you don't want to do at the time to have tomorrow, you know, more than you could ever imagine. There's this mm-hmm. phrase, I love to say it, I always get it wrong, but I think it's do today what others don't have tomorrow, what others won't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, about that sacrifice. If people could take away one thing from your story, what would you want it to be?
I would say to anyone listening to follow your gut and that passion in your heart, figure out what you were put on this earth to do. Even if it's a very general outline, you know, at first I was like, I want to be a writer. And that is big for me, writing. But, you know, I think it's going through and trailblazing in fashion and diversifying and finding inspiration and making people feel welcome in a kind of very cold industry. But I would say find out what you want to do and work every day towards it. And stay inspired. Mm-hmm. Always stay inspired, but look at the signs and follow them.
Right.
It'll happen mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's important to note that it's not going to be this serene road. Like, I think there are going to be lots of situations, whether it's people or circumstances, that will try to dissuade you or deter you or get you off course. But just stay the course.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the book and sort of how did that come about for you? Obviously, you're a writer, but was that one of those things where you had to go through the process of like pitching to write this book and get it published? Or because of your sort of, I guess, presence as an influencer, was it one of those situations where someone said, hey, you can write a book, whatever book you want to write, and we'll publish it? How did that sort of take shape?
So I self-published The Bond Life.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I've always had a book in me. I've been writing, you know, I recorded my whole time in Paris because I didn't have much to do sometimes. but the interesting thing about me and books, because I'm working on a couple books now, including a sequel to The Bond Life and the Fashion Bond Daily book, which I mentioned to you. But I think, you know, my idea of success is like $10 million, you know, and then I'm in the bank and then I'll be fine.
Okay.
And, just that small amount. But I was like, I'm not ready to write a book. I don't think, you know, I'm successful yet. I don't think I've reached that pinnacle yet. And my mom was like, just write it, you know, just go for it. And also, I have a mentor who also encouraged me to just write it. And I think, you know, sometimes we're looking for this happy ending. And that's actually what is happening with my second book. I have a title in mind, and the title describes this place where I am that I'm not at right now. So I'm like, I can't finish the book because I'm not there yet. And I think it's important to just be like, you can write a book now and then write one later. It's okay. You don't have to have accomplished absolutely everything that you want. But, you know, for me, The Bomb Life is a story of how I created the Fashion Bomb and up until this point, and tips to bloggers who want to start their own social media site and how they can gain advertisers and all these things. But, you know, it's part one, and it was born of me being asked the question frequently, how did you start Fashion Bomb and how can I start a blog? So instead of ask that question over and over and over again at different Cocktails with Claire events, I decided to write a book. So that's part one. But I think part two will be about, you know, how do you maintain it? Because, you know, Concrete Loop and a lot of the sites that were around when I first started, they have stopped.
Yes.
They're like, I quit. You know what I mean? But I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. And I was very, you know, I was proud of myself for being able to make that transition over to social media, because I don't think many of my counterparts were able to do that. I mean, a lot of us, especially if you had a poppin' website, you're always going to be married to the site. And you're like, I have to update the site. And I would see so many of them be like, okay, well, here's part of the story. See more on the site.
Yeah.
I had to break myself of that need to have all these views on the site and be like, okay, everything is going on Instagram and that's okay. You know, but, I was so wed to Instagram, and I was proud of being able to make that transition. But then Instagram was like, ha ha, you know, but it's really not about the medium. It's about the person behind it, and how can you show people that you can keep going and you can be successful no matter what. I went to the On the Run concert in LA, and Jay-Z has this lyric, and I don't know what song it is, but he was like, drop me off anywhere. He was like, I'm a hustler, drop me off anywhere and I'll triple whatever I have or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know what, Jay-Z?
Jay-Z, right. You might be on to something.
You know,
that's me too.
Like, there are some people who are just warriors, you know, and I've taken, people have seen me on this whole journey from doing everything by myself to having a bunch of contributors, like from walking out, from fighting with people at sample sales and me breaking my Bronx shoe while walking down the street. I mean, I have stories from 2007 where I was wearing knockoffs. I wore a knockoff that I got in China. guy was like, I was at a sample sale and I put my scarf down and this guy was like, can somebody move this knockoff Burberry scarf? And I was like, oh,
as if.
But I have stories like that, you know, to me, like going to galas and hanging out with Puff Daddy and all these things. So people have seen my journey and it's literally just been hard work, you know? So, you know, that's what I want to share with people, that anything is possible. If you just work hard, things are going to go left, but it's really about you keep having your mind right and just staying focused on a bigger vision and trying to contribute to people, not making it about yourself all the time. And I'm cute and look at my new shoes or whatever, but how are you servicing the people who come to you, and are you interacting with them? Are you happy that they're there? Are you treating them like they're friends and not just some random number, you know, that or a like or something like that? And I think that that's part of any great brand is being authentic, one, and actually caring about your customer and whoever is following you.
I love that. That's a perfect way to wrap everything up. You summed it up well. Mm-hmm. So for those who are living under a rock and unfamiliar, please let everybody know where they can continue to experience you, follow you, keep up with you, and all that good stuff.
Yes. So many places. You can follow me at Claire Somers, at Fashion Bomb Daily Meg. We started a backup page. That's popping.
Nice.
Also fashionbombdaily.com, thebomblife.com, ClaireSomers.com. And if any of your readers are in Atlanta on Saturday, they should definitely come to Combos with Claire, and they can get their tickets at cwcatl.eventbrite.com.
And so for those who maybe will miss the Atlanta event, is this going to be an ongoing thing? Like more cities, are they already slated or will they just have to look out for additional cities?
Yes. So we are having our New York event in December, and each year we find five or so cities in the States where we have these events, but I've done them in Paris and London and Lagos. Mm-hmm. And I actually wanted to do one in Accra, Ghana in December. Oh, wow. But, you know, I'm always open. If y'all want to bring Fashion Bomb or me to your town, then, you know, be sure to reach out. But, you know, we're working to create like a very strong community. Even, you know, one of the stylists who used to work frequently with Fashion Bomb Daily, he passed away earlier this year. And Michael Knight passed away, I want to say last year. And these things happen, they seem so suddenly. Yeah. And it's like we're all connected, but we really need to have a stronger connection and teach people, you know, like, as I mentioned, advertisers, some of our wonderful advertisers, you know, we can have workshops on this. We can have workshops for designers. Mm-hmm. We can have workshops for influencers, you know, so it doesn't have to be like this one-off thing, but actually, you know, something where we're actually teaching people how to break into fashion, and not just how to break in, but how to survive and thrive. So
yeah, thrive. Yeah. And yeah. I really like that you touch on that, because so many people think that once they reach a certain level or get to a certain space in life or achieve what they wanted to achieve, they don't want to reach back and teach other people or connect with other people. Because I think sometimes there's this fear that somebody's going to take your place, or you don't want to teach people everything that you know. But, you know, the more that we're all able to sort of like grow together, I think the better off everyone will be, because then there won't be that scarcity mentality. You know, it's like it's not necessary. There's a lot of other people that don't operate from that space. I think it's just reconditioning ourselves so that we realize that we don't have to always think that someone's going to take our spot and take our shine. It goes back to what you said before. You are unique. You're unique in what you bring to any situation, to what you bring to any table, to what you can offer to the world. So you have to be confident in that, and knowing that even if someone does the same thing, the exact same thing as you, they will not do it how you do it. So it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. What God has for you is for you, and no one can take it away from you. Exactly. And, you know, I came up with a lot of competition, not that many mentors. My brother was my first mentor, which is kind of funny, but you know, in fashion, I really didn't feel as if there were any blueprints for what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to be that change that I want to see in the world and just provide resources. People can choose to take the advice or not, but at least it's available to them. So that's what we'll be working on for next year.
That is so awesome. Thank you so much, Claire, for sharing your story with us, for taking the time to just pour into the audience, because you've done some amazing things. And there's a whole community of people that appreciate all the work that you've put in all these years to develop this brand of Fashion Bomb Daily, and as well as your personal brand, because people want to get to know the amazing star, the woman behind all of this creation. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you for having me, for lending your platform to me for this past hour. I know there are so many people that you could have interviewed, but you know, you chose little me and I appreciate it. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Same to you. And as always, you guys keep killing it.